This is my first of many, probably NBA offseason podcasts. I bring on Jordan Smith. The reason I like to talk to Jordan is he is bipartisan when it comes to the NBA. So I can't help but be a little jaded in favor of the Lakers. And so when I talk to Jordan, he has more of a holistic approach. As long as I've known him, and it's been over 2 decades now, he's never been attached to a team. It's always player-based with him. And so he brings kind of a holistic approach where I kind of view it as a Lakers thing. And so we talk about some of our favorite moves in free agency, some of our least favorite moves, and we go on quite the interesting LeBron versus Kawhi tangent in the middle. So, as always, subscribe, let me know what you think. If you listen through Anchor, you can leave messages and I'll put them in the podcast. So love to hear from you guys. Thanks for listening. And until next time, keep listening. Thanks.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey Matt, how's it going, buddy?
Not too bad. How's the summer treating you? Busy?
Yeah, not much of a slimmer, but yeah,
Hey, that's the life, huh? That's how you have great winters and bad summers.
it's good. Yep, it's true. Not too bad in the next few weeks, and then it gets crazy again in August. In
Man,
August.
the construction life. It gives and it takes, huh?
Yeah, we're overall we're trying to make some changes so it's not too, I don't know what the word is. Quality of life is a discussion we're having more and more,
That's good to hear.
so it
That's
just takes time. Things don't change right away, but that's a goal.
unless it's the NBA, right?
That changes every effing day, man.
Dude, I think it's safe to assume. Well, I lied. It's not safe to assume anything with the NBA, but I feel like after the Westbrook trade, the dust has settled, right?
I can't imagine anyone. I think every single all-star has been traded now, or other than like LeBron's the only one's been there for a year.
There's no
So
way he's getting traded after the Anthony Davis trade. There's just no way.
yeah, I think the NBA writers and everyone will have a they'll be able to talk about this for a few days, and they should be able to take a break. But I didn't see that. I knew that. I thought he'd get dealt fast, but I did not see that coming tonight. And I had no, I thought Houston was a no-go. I didn't think there was any way that OKC would take Paul back.
I know it was the picks, so they just went heavy on the picks. And my inclination, let's start here. We don't need to spend a lot of time because I actually don't think either of these teams are gonna. Well, Chris Paul's not gonna stay in Oklahoma, first off. I mean, it's almost a certainty that he's going to Miami, and so there's just a complete rebuild mode. But I actually think Houston is worse from this trade. And maybe I'm a Westbrook hater, and hey, if you accused me of that, I would just have to plead guilty as charged. But I don't know what he does better than Chris Paul, with the exception of driving to the rim and shooting free throws. But I don't know. Am I crazy to think that they're actually slightly worse from this?
Oh, so he's obviously a much worse shooter. So I think
Significantly worse, and he's
I
a worse
would.
ball handler too. He doesn't he lead the NBA in turnovers, or is that
Yeah, I mean,
Harden?
part of that is his usage, which should go down. Well, we would assume. I don't know. Is the Westbrook we've seen a product of being in OKC and being the man and just doing whatever the heck he wants? Where at Houston, Harden's the number one guy. He's going to have to defer even a little bit there.
Is he going to, though? I mean, that
He
seems like he'd
should.
go.
I mean,
Well,
theoretically,
of
he
course he
should.
should. Yes, he should. But we're talking about Russell Westbrook here, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about the same guy who said his only friend in the NBA is the ball. All right. So I think it's hard to assume he's going to come in and say, "Tell me what we need to do to win." I just don't think he's ever had that attitude.
Right. I do think D'Antoni will implement his always having all-star caliber point guard on the floor. So I think you're going to see a lot of Westbrook against second units. I mean, he's going to start, obviously, but I think that's when he's going to get his shots up, most of them, I think. And then I like the idea of this is we've never really seen this, but I like the idea of him slashing. You know what I mean? He's just not a good shooter. But if he keeps shooting the way he has the last 2 years, you are 100% right. They are worse. If
Westbrook, defensively, I think Chris Paul is significantly better too.
I don't – in his age, I don't – like last year, I don't think Paul was that great a defender. I mean, Paul was nowhere to be seen in those – in that series against the Warriors. And I mean, the Warriors are awesome. They had Kevin Durant for most of those games, but I feel like his decline was pretty noticeable during the playoffs. And it was just like, if Harden didn't carry everything, they were going to lose.
Let me add this. I would do the trade if I was Houston, because I am in total agreement. Chris Paul, the decline is going to be continual. And it's probably year by year, it's going to speed up and look worse and worse and worse. So I totally get it. They didn't have a choice. I just, you know, I just still don't think that they're better. You know, it's I think those things can coexist where it's a trade that makes total sense. And yet I think they're worse.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I like is it's a huge if. I don't even believe the words that come out of my mouth, but if somehow there's a miracle, Westbrook driving with all those shooters, PJ Tucker in the corner, you've got
Eric Gordon,
obviously Eric Gordon. That is a scary thing to guard, because you've got, I mean, Russ can still finish. Like you said, that's his strength, is getting to the hole and finishing. But you can't leave those guys open either. So it's going to depend on how many dumb threes a game he takes. I think
When is he going to learn that this isn't my strength? I'm taking one or two a game, and I got to play differently. You know, maybe this is the year. It's just, I'm such a believer of this phrase that I've never been able to attribute, but it's like, what's the best indicator of future behavior? You know, especially in sports, it's usually past behavior. It's like, not often do you see a guy who is successful, MVP-level success at one thing, just willingly say, nah, no thanks, especially in the NBA, you know?
Yeah. The one benefit I will give him is OKC, other than Paul George, they did not have any other scorers. They didn't have great shooting. And this team he's going to now, I mean, if I'm Russell Westbrook, I might take that many shots as well. And if I got Andre Roberson and whoever the heck they got else out there, you know what I mean? So that I want to see it, but I don't have a lot of faith. It's pretty much different. I could see him taking bad shots. I mean, D'Antoni's going to emphasize shooting anyway. So if he's open, the offense is going to dictate him to shoot, which is a bad thing. So
yeah. But, all right. You know, We've already spent too much time on two teams that I absolutely hate. And those are two of the probably top three players I hate. So I'm already, you know, I can't take it anymore. We got to shift on to something else. All right. Let's break it down. I know this is a little spur of the moment on you, and I'll start, but let's say we're going to do our three most interesting. It can be a trade, it can be a free agent, whatever you want to call it, and the impact you think it'll have. And we can also do three bad ones as well. So I'll start. I think the most impactful free agent acquisition is Kawhi Leonard, sadly. I think the Clippers are already my most hated team in the NBA. And but hey, I mean, that was really impressive what they did. And they're not as deep as I think some media people think they are, but what they do have is every piece kind of fits in perfectly. There's no overlapping of skills. Everyone's going to know what their role is. And I think that really matters. So, you know, I would say that they're the favorites to win a championship, but there's a lot of things that could go wrong there. just like about everywhere else. And so even though they're the favorites, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting money on them. So that's probably my first takeaway is if it works, and it certainly can, then it's got the highest potential to be deadly. But Paul George has been bad in the playoffs. He's been hurt quite a bit. Lou Williams is getting old. How long is this going to continue? You know, I think you know what you're getting from Patrick Beverley, but he's had injuries. I just think, you know, I don't think it's a slam dunk that these guys will just cruise through the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a team with size could just bang them, and it would be just a long series.
Yep.
They don't have – I mean, at point guard, shooting guard, and center, they are extremely small. So.
Yep. They've gotten an elite defensive combination between Kawhi and Paul, and they have enough shooting, but it's, you know, well, we're not talking about the Warriors here, you know?
Right, yeah. They're the favorites, but it's not overwhelming. This is the year you take the field. Like, in years past, you'd probably take the Warriors over the field. This is the year that you would take the field, not the Clippers. But they're not that great of a favorite. Yeah.
All right. What's your is that the most impactful one, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to go a little off the board. I think some of these are pretty obvious. I mean, we still need to talk about them. But I think Russell to the Warriors is super interesting.
Totally.
I do not think that he's going to play for them past the trade deadline. I think that was an acquisition that they can see how it works for a few months, but it's an asset they can trade more assets, because otherwise they are hard capped and cannot, there's nothing they can do. So that's pretty interesting. They were able to pull that off and give themselves some leeway to make some moves and improve the team going forward.
Bob Myers, as far as I'm concerned, is hands down, without a doubt, the best GM in the NBA.
Too bad your Lakers didn't even give him a call, huh?
Don't even get me started. We've already been down this road before. Jeannie Buss is a loser, but he is. I would pay him any amount of money that I could reasonably afford to run my basketball operations, because you touched on it. They have no money. How are they able to get a 21-year-old all-star back when you lose? I mean, they obviously didn't upgrade Jordan, but you can say that in terms – let's forget about the basketball skills and just view Kevin Durant as an asset versus D'Angelo. You can make a case that D'Angelo is more appealing. He's cheaper, he's a lot younger, and he's never had the most devastating injury that a basketball player can have. You might be able to trade him for as much, if not more, than an aging Kevin Durant. It's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, I can envision them going to like a team like the Knicks, they need some star power. You'd probably get two young pieces, maybe like a Randall. I mean, or they can just get draft assets. Like, they'll be able to free up cap possibly. They've got options, which I was hoping they wouldn't, because I hate them. But
I love them. I'll always love them. Splash Brothers for life. They've become
the second one.
Okay, my second one. And this is going to come as a surprise to you, and I'll let you say whatever you want. I think my second one is Cousins to the Lakers.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's hear this.
Don't give me that. Okay, first off, it is high reward, absolutely no risk. The dude is making bet minimum. If he's not good, there's other centers on the team that you can rely on to play big minutes. So it's like, hey, if he doesn't pan out, whatever. We're not spending a lot of money. It's a one-year deal, and we have other options. Unlike the Clippers, who I think the Clippers have a better 2 through 6, the Lakers have a better 7 through 12. Where if people aren't playing well, there's people to try. Where the Clippers, they don't have that. And so I think from that perspective, it's like, hey, this will be his second year off of injury. Maybe he returns to 75% of himself instead of 50. And if that happens, then if he, you know, he's not going to ever return to all-star caliber, but if he could become a guy that you can play for 28 minutes and get 18-9, that's significant for the Lakers. And if it doesn't pan out, problem. You play McGee, who had a decent year last year for the Lakers, and you know, you have other forwards that you can, you know, Kuzma can play some four. So I just think to get that kind of ceiling for like no consequence, it's not a multi-year deal. It's not a lot of, he's played Cousins or with Anthony Davis before, he's played with Rondo. You know, I think LeBron, he respects LeBron. I just think like that was one of the best things the Lakers could have done considering the circumstances. And before the offseason, if you would have said that, hey, the Lakers are going to get Cousins, what do you say it would have cost them, Jordan? 10, 15 million?
Yeah, it'd probably be 10. Yeah.
They got him for two, like 2.3. They didn't even use any of their salary cap space for him.
I'll concede that it's a really low risk. I understand that. But there's so many huge free agent acquisitions, man. It's way low in the totem pole. And you think, fine, you're a Laker fan, it's your podcast, you can talk about whatever you want. But there's like no significance.
How is there no significance?
There's lots of other players, but that's great. You're right. If he could get double digits and points and close to 10 rebounds, they need that. And
I'm just saying, if they get nothing from him, then it's whatever. Right. If they get something from him, it could push them to a finals appearance. Like, so the ceiling is high for him. And it's like, if it doesn't work out, it's nothing. But I can't think of a lot of other moves for other teams where it's like, well, if this doesn't pan out, then it doesn't have any impact. But if it does, it elevates you a step or two. Can you think of anyone else?
No. I mean, a lot of the players. Like, so my second one is going to be Al Horford.
On the yeah.
Center. I think he's going to be great. I don't think there's like a low. I don't think there's any risk either there. But it's different. But he's also a little older, and maybe those last couple of years of that contract they're not going to like. But for this year, I really like that for the Sixers. He brings more defense. He's versatile. He's going to bring a good locker room presence. I also love that he's not playing for the Celtics anymore because I hate the Celtics almost as much as I hate the Warriors.
Yes. That's something we can always agree on, right? The Celtics hate.
Yeah. Can't stand those guys.
What do you mean?
I just think.
Go ahead. Sorry. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, you're good. Another big that can spell Embiid. Once when Embiid's on the bench, they've got someone who can play. They don't have to play Embiid 35 to 40 minutes anymore. I think he's a good mentor for Simmons. I really like that for Philly. Philly is my pick for the Eastern Conference champion next year. I mean, that's not super crazy to say, but I really like. I know that losing Redick sucks, but I like that team a lot more this year. The chemistry. And the defense, I think, is going to be awesome. And I just think Horford's a difference maker for them. He can guard multiple positions. I mean, not every position, but he's pretty good out there out on the wing when we get switched on. I really like that for them. But
yeah, and he's going to provide something that they've never had, which is that locker presence that Jimmy Butler wasn't providing, that Tobias Harris, he has no experience doing it. And for whatever reason, J.J. Redick just had no impact on that team in terms of locker room. He was supposed to be the veteran locker room guy, and I just don't think he gave a crap.
Right.
Horford will care, and he'll have an impact.
Mm-hmm. I agree. What's your third one?
I like D'Angelo. I think my third one, man. This is a great question. I'm trying to resist every fiber in my soul not to give credit to the Jazz here, but I'm trying to think if anything sticks out more than Bogdanovich off the top of my head. I don't think anything does. I was impressed. To be honest with you, I might have preferred Mirotić for them because he would have been cheaper and there would have been less of a commitment. But there's no arguing that Bogdanovich was better than Mirotić last year. He's younger. So I just, I think what impressed me about the move is that they were willing to do it. Like the Conley trade and the Bogdanovich trade, it's so uncharacteristic of previous Utah front offices to kind of put the chips to the center. Unfortunately for them, I think a couple other teams surpassed them in terms of if they reach their potential, who's going to be the best. I think it's Clippers and Lakers in the West at the top, and then Utah's in that second tier. Now, I know I sound like a homer here, but if things go south for the Lakers, and they can very easily, then things can go south. But I think if everything goes right, Cousins is good, Danny Green continues to shoot the ball well, Kuzma takes a step, if all that stuff happens, I think they'll be right in the thick of it. But Utah is right in that group as well, and they don't have nearly the bust potential that the Lakers do.
Right. I think – I don't know if LeBron will play enough games, but I think in 60 games, he's going to be in the conversation for MVP. That's my prediction. I think that it'll be held against him because he is going to have some load management. But I think you're going to see an inspired LeBron.
Yes.
Really wants – I mean, getting AD, I think is going to revitalize him. Yep. And he's going to want to prove a lot of people wrong.
And
so I think,
let me add to this. This is where – this is going to stun you because this rendition of the Map by Amonte podcast has been going on strong for over a year. And I think I'm the most optimistic about this Lakers team than I've been about any team that I like this decade. I actually think the Lakers have a great chance to win the finals this year because in large part, we're going to be seeing a LeBron James we've never seen before, Jordan. He's never had this much time off. He's never had the naysayers saying he's not good anymore. He can't do it anymore. And it's like the dude's body is going to be right. I mean, how many finals did he play before this year? 8 straight? Dude has not had 5 months off in a decade. And you know, NBA players, dude, rest is paramount. And he's had more of it than any other star this offseason. Like, if you look at the Clippers, they're good. But Leonard was hurt in the finals and Paul George had double shoulder surgery. The Lakers' 2 stars were training on the beach and sipping margaritas for the last 5 months. Like, it's not even comparable, the health of the 2 duos. Like, so it's... I just think the Lakers are going to be fresh. They're going to be sharp. And I think durability favors the Lakers this year. The Clippers are in a better long-term situation. But for 2020, I think the Lakers are set up. And I'm glad you brought up that LeBron point because it's like everyone's just writing this dude off. Dude was in the MVP conversation before the injury last year.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 28-8-8. That's a pretty dang good season. But since it's LeBron, it's like – oh, he was terrible. No, not a lot of people have done that, guys.
Seriously.
He wasn't even trying that hard.
I know. And I know I said this a moment ago with Cousins, but I just like that they have options. It's like if Danny Green bums out, they've got a couple other guys they can try. I don't love them. I just like that there's options. They can all flame out, and they might not win, and that's fine. But it's like I'd rather have – when you were down to the bare bones that the Lakers were at when Kawhi Leonard decided to go to the Clippers, the fact that they were able to grab 12 dudes who you can comfortably play, I like that. I don't know if that's going to be an asset or not, but I like that if Danny Green is not playing well, there's KCP, who I hate. But KCP versus who else is on the market at that time, like it's a no-brainer, you know?
Right.
So if Cousins sucks, you play McGee. It's like if Rondo's terrible, and he is, you play Alex Caruso. And I don't know. I just feel like there's options there. They're not great options, but they're options nonetheless. Where some of the other top teams, where do you go into that second and third unit if someone's not producing? Like to use the Clippers as an example. What do you do at small forward if Paul George goes down? There's not another option. You know, it's like there's nothing. So
good point.
Yeah, so it's – I know I sound like a Laker homer here, and I am, but I've also been so critical of this team for so long. I think that there's just some interesting things that if they go right, and they might not, and they probably won't, but if they do, there's tremendous potential there. So, all right, Lakers tangent over. My third one was Utah for finally making some big moves.
Before I give my third, which I'm still scrambling to think of one, let me give you a would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather see the Utah Jazz or the Clippers win the finals this year if you had to pick between the two?
Okay. I can make cases for both.
Dave would be on cloud nine. But you want that for your good friend Dave, or you want him to rub that in your face? And you got Clipper Nation, you know, Clip City, Chip City.
So in terms of my personal life, the Jazz winning would be – it would have a negative impact on my personal life, more so than the Clippers winning. But the NBA part of me wants the Clippers to burn in flames because their two stars did stuff that no other guys have done before, and it kind of bothers me. Like Paul George, people have demanded trades before the last year of their deal, but this was ridiculous, Jordan.
I'm glad you brought this up. Maybe instead of my third team, I'm going to go on my LeBron rant here for a second, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I get so sick of this. So all summer and spring, sat and listened to how people upset because, well, LeBron is part of Clutch, and Clutch now represents Davis. And that's how, like, all this tampering, all this bullcrap. And how could they do that to the Pelicans? He still had a year and a half on his deal and just ripping him and ripping him. And then it was like, oh, the Lakers are never to get Davis now. Well, LeBron, they still pull it off. All right, crickets. And then Kawhi, first of all, he quits on the Spurs.
Yes.
Like, no one talks about this, but he was fine. There's reports that he was, like, scrimmaging with some of the older players during practice, going hard, but still wouldn't play. So he quits on the Spurs, like, the best franchise in the league. Gets traded to Toronto, wins a championship, and never really even considers them, which is fine. He can leave. But then he goes to Paul George, who has two full years on his deal, and pretty much puts OKC in a bind and forces them to trade him.
Yep.
And all I hear is, Kawhi is the greatest negotiator. Look what Kawhi did. It's just all praise. It's like,
Kawhi. 2 months ago. Kawhi's a cheater. That's what he is.
It's just like you rip LeBron for doing the same thing.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, like everyone just killed the Lakers for how much they gave up. The freaking Clippers gave up more for a lesser player.
I know. And here's to also pile on Kawhi. Kawhi, in my book, when he's on the floor, he doesn't bother me, but I'm not a Kawhi fan. What kind of bullcrap move is it to call the Lakers and say, hey, can you delay the Anthony Davis trade? Just in case Paul George doesn't come. Like, come on. He was not interested in the Lakers. He would have went to the Lakers if things had fallen through, but he was using the Lakers to get someone to go to the Clippers. Like, that's uncool. It's one thing to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to go. But when you're calling the Lakers and saying, hey, we need more time. Can you hold off the trade? All while knowing that there's a negotiation going on between the Clippers and the Thunder. That's not cool. That's really...
Well, he moved one of the meetings of the Lakers so they could be closer to where Paul George was so we could meet with George before or after, too.
That's like, not cool to be using other teams to get what you want.
Right.
Free agency, do whatever you got to do. If you want to play with Paul George, that's fine. Tell the Lakers and Raptors, I'm not coming. That's what a reasonable person would do if they have any dignity. Instead, he strung the Raptors and Lakers along. And luckily for the Lakers, they are the Lakers, and the scraps wanted to play there. But that was – both of those guys did things that were so dirty to the previous teams they were on. I'm just like, we can't root for these guys to win because it would just continue to promote this behavior that is so uncool for the NBA.
Yeah, the league definitely needs to do something about this. I'm sure their next collective bargaining agreement that this will get brought up.
But, he called.
Yeah, dude, I think it's baloney.
He called three different guys before Paul George to see if they would go to the Clippers, not to L.A., to the Clippers. So his goal from the start was to get another guy to go to the Clippers, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. Don't use other teams. Don't string them along, you know. To use the date.
Right, the Lakers could have got someone else instead, you know, maybe not.
Who could have – I mean, they paid Danny Green $15 million. They could have paid someone a lot younger $15 million.
Right.
It's just – I have no problem with Kawhi choosing the Clippers. I do have a problem with Paul George forcing a trade after 3 years. And it's just like – some of it is on the Thunder, and I understand why they made the trade, but, like, can someone just man up and say, too bad, you made a commitment, play, or you're not getting paid. That's the way that it works.
Right, or just don't trade him, like, 48 hours later. Like, get other teams involved. Trade his ass somewhere.
It's all. I know. Oh, you want to go to the Clippers? We're sending you to Detroit. Have a good time.
Right.
And he's
maybe get less of a haul, but I mean, yeah, to just put them in that kind of a bind and just is frustrating.
But. You know what's annoying is we're going to get all this crap all season long about, is this the Clippers' time? Are they going to take over the Lakers? Clippers are great. Look at their great front office. And all along, I'm like, we're not really going to celebrate these guys for what they did, right? Like, this isn't a scenario in which LeBron and Chris Bosh were free agents and went and played with Dwayne Wade. This was totally different. We've never seen a scenario like this before where two all-star caliber players completely and utterly used other teams in to their advantage. Like, it's – I hate it. And I'm pro-player mobility, Jordan. I'm all for it. But, like, don't sign a four-year deal with Oklahoma if you're not sure about it.
Remember how awful it was when LeBron played 7 years for Cleveland and went on TV for charity and donated like millions of dollars to kids to announce he's going to Miami? Remember how awful that was?
That was the worst thing anyone's ever done. I know. That looks like a freaking – we should anoint him as one of the most humble and generous human beings of all time.
How dare he run away from Dan Gilbert, one of the worst owners in the league.
I know that I was critical of him back then. I apologize, LeBron. Little did I know what we were going to witness a decade later. It's despicable. And the Anthony Davis thing is not comparable to the Paul George thing. Anthony Davis expressed frustration with the Pelicans long before LeBron signed in L.A.
Right.
That was kind of one of those things where Anthony Davis was – kind of getting fed up, and then he made the change, then demanded a trade, and then I think there was a Laker – his meeting with LeBron was after he demanded the trade. So it's like this wasn't a case where LeBron was calling him 3 years before his deal was up, and then it just – that just really bothers me, the Paul George thing. It's so convenient too. Oh, now you're unhappy now that Kawhi's calling? Was he unhappy before? Why didn't this leak – at the end of the season? Why was it just so convenient once Kawhi called him? It's just – Paul George is a loser. I can't stand him. And I hope the Clippers don't win anything. So that's my take on the Clippers.
And back to the Pelicans thing. The whole trade demand at the February was the greatest thing ever. They tanked and got Zion.
Totally.
And they got an amazing haul from the Lakers.
Yep.
If Davis is – at that – trade demand doesn't happen until this summer, they're not going to get Zion. They're going to win too many games. They're probably not even in the lottery. They might be the 8th seed.
Totally.
There's just a lot of good happen from that.
Yep, exactly. It is different. And I understand it is frustrating when guys who have more than 1 year on their deal complain. That's probably not right. But we've never seen a guy sign a four-year deal and the next summer demand a trade. That's crazy.
Yeah, this sets a bad precedent. Like, why even have contracts if all the stars are just going to move whenever they want?
Yeah, so. I loved what Oklahoma's mayor said, which was like, you know, a contract means nothing anymore. These guys are free agents every year, whether they're under contract or not. And that's got to stop.
Yeah, they need to figure something out to where maybe with these, you know, these stars, there's more disincentive for asking for a trade. And also, but the teams just can't trade them either, because it has to be fair both ways. Because I get their side of, well, the team can trade me after my first year if I signed a 4-year deal and they don't want me anymore.
Yep.
There just needs to be like some disincentive for demanding trades. There's got to be like, there's trade kickers. If a team trades you, well, like in some contracts, there's things called trade kickers.
I think,
why can't go the other way too? Like if you demand a trade, you get paid less.
Totally.
I mean, something like that. I don't know.
Or the team that's taking you on has to, you know, they get hit on the salary cap an extra 25% or something. And I think the line needs to be drawn. There's a difference between saying, I want to trade, send me to LA, or I want to trade, send me to New York, then a player calling you and saying, hey, come to LA with me. Yeah, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. Okay, now I want to go to the Clippers. Like, if you want to trade because you're unhappy, I think that's totally separate than being recruited by a dude when you're in a long-term contract. I don't know. I know there's a gray area here, but it's like, can we penalize the Clippers a little bit here? Because Paul George would still be in Oklahoma if Kawhi doesn't call him.
Yeah, they need to do something because it's getting out of hand. And there needs to be mobility. The players need, they have rights, they have power, but they're just, there has to be a line on both sides. And right now there just isn't.
Nope. And maybe there needs to be player tampering too, where it's like, hey, if you're a free agent and you're recruiting a guy under contract, we're going to hit you hard. You know, if you want to collude with other free agents, that's all fair and game. But when you're hitting up dudes under contract, that's not cool. So
right.
I know the LeBron AD thing is somewhat comparable, but I just still maintain that Anthony Davis wanted out of there before LeBron joined the Lakers. And then once that happened, it was like, you know, that's where I want to go. And that, I think there's a difference there.
Right. I listened to an interview with David Griffin, their new GM or whatever his title is. And he came into it like, I'm going to try to see if Davis will stay. And at least what he said in interviews, like, I just realized that over time, things the organization had done and things that happened with AD, it was just his time to go.
Yep.
It wasn't solid. Like, this was a long time coming. It wasn't some spur of the moment. Oh, yeah. I would rather play with.
I had a great dinner with LeBron and he begged me to come. Okay, I'll do it. No, it definitely was not that way. There were rumors of him leaving years ago, Jordan.
Yeah, he was always going to go to L.A., you know what I mean, whether LeBron was there or not in free agency.
Yep.
It was just a matter of time if he let them know so they could trade him or not. So even though there's similarities, there is a difference there. I would agree with that.
And it's hard to draw the line between the two, but it's just like, you know, maybe it's if you sign a 4-year deal, you know, you can't. We will veto a trade if it's within the first 2 years of the deal or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't have the answer to it, but we need to be careful, I think, as a league to not celebrate this, because then it's like, yeah, contracts don't mean anything. And here's the worst part about it is the contracts only ever hurt what side of the league? The teams. They never hurt they never hurt the players. So you go ahead and give this dude a 4-year deal, then, you know, he wants traded or he's not good anymore and you have to suffer for this guy's, I don't know. This is a tangent for probably another podcast, but needless to say, I hate the Clippers and I will be rooting actively against them. So I guess to answer your question, I'd probably have to say I'd take Utah over the Clippers. And that's a hard pill to swallow, Jordan.
That's painful.
I know.
That's painful. Sorry, Jazz fans, but if y'all won a championship, I wouldn't be able to live anymore.
All right. I feel like we could talk about NBA for hours. So let's wrap up on some just mind-boggling free agency decisions. First and foremost for me, Jimmy Butler's a moron, and I don't know what he was thinking. Dude does not give a rip about winning. He wants to live in Miami, hook up with chicks, and live the lifestyle. And that's fine. Let's just please not call him a great player anymore because he doesn't care.
Right. He left a team where he had a chance to win a championship or at least get to the finals for a worse team that he could just be the guy on. Like, I don't understand. I don't get that concept. Like, oh, I just want to be the guy. Well, you're going to be the guy and you're going to lose.
Yep. So. Yep, but hey, I think it's Bill Simmons and House. The triple P, have you heard that?
Yes, I have.
That's what it's all about.
It's all about.
All right. I hated that one. I actually, here's another one I hated. I hated paying Jamal Murray a 5-year max deal.
Oof, yeah, that was brutal. I mean, he showed a little bit in the playoffs, but still – max contracts should go to max players, and there's not that many max players. I just don't believe in paying anyone who's not on that level that much money. I think.
Yep.
I know the teams have money and they need to spend it certain places, but I would have a hard time paying someone who's, you know, maybe a B plus player.
Yep.
A plus money. So that's. I'm trying to think. There's been so many crazy deals. I mean, obviously we talked about this Westbrook thing could blow up the Rockets easily. I mean, it's kind of a boomer bust, I feel like.
Yep. I hated Ricky Rubio going to the Suns because I just think he's a classy guy. And I'm like, why'd you do that to yourself? Because everything they've done is just crazy. Paying Frank Kaminsky $5 million. They added Frank Kaminsky, Kelly Oubre, and Ricky Rubio. Like, they're an embarrassment down there. I think Monty Williams regrets his decision.
I'm sure he does. I mean, I can understand, like, this team's been so bad for so long, go in and build it up from the bottom, but with that ownership and everything, it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to get better.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Ricky Rubio, if you remember correctly, Utah told him, you're not coming back. And then he, like, had a deal with Indiana. And then they pulled a rabbit out of their butt and got Malcolm Brogdon. Where was the market? Yeah. Where was the market to pay him $17
million? Yeah. I hated what the Hornets did.
Yes, I do too.
I don't – you have a great – Kemba, he loves the city. He's your best player. He says he does not need the full max. So what do? You lowball him and force him out. And you take on Terry Rozier, who is not good.
No.
They're going to find out real quick he is not a starting point guard in this league.
No.
He's a good backup. He's fine as a backup. But he should not be running your team or your locker
room. You know who he reminds me of? Reggie Ooh. Jackson.
Yeah. That's a good
when he player. Was like, wow, who's this backup in Oklahoma? Incredible. Has he done a thing in Detroit as the starting point guard?
No. He's this beloved lost in the background. No one ever talked about him.
I hated what the Knicks did.
Oh, the Knicks had the worst offseason of any.
And it's not so much the guys they signed, because I actually like a lot of those guys, but the deals they were handing out. Reggie Bullock was going to get like $8 million a year. Are you kidding me? The dude was like 22% from three for the Lakers last year.
To steal a Bill Simmons line, you would have driven him to the airport. You would,
seriously.
You did not want him on the Lakers.
No. Him and Muscala. I was like, hey, you know, whatever it takes for you guys not to come back, tell me what I got to do. And they're going to fork out that kind of money. Marcus Morris, $15 million. Are you kidding me?
Just let him stay on the Spurs. Why are you – yeah, that much money and the whole 2-year thing, I just – team like the Nets have been a really quick rebuild. And one of the ways they did it is they took on people's bad contracts and then they gathered assets.
Yep.
The Lakers, they took on the Moscow contract, but they got Russell out of it.
Yep.
So, it's like, I think that's the type of stuff I would do.
Totally. And they could
– I hated their offseason.
They could have easily – been on the receiving end of a Chris Paul trade where they're getting the four picks and pick swaps and taking on Chris Paul, and instead they're stuck with Taj Gibson, Julius Randle, Marcus Morris, Wayne Ellington and Reggie Bullock. It's just like they have a collection of – I do like Julius Randle, but outside of him, they've got a collection of crap making a lot of money. It doesn't make sense.
My last one, and this might be a hot take, I hate what the Nets did. I think you're going to have Kyrie Irving with a young group again. We just saw that melt away. It would be awful.
Yeah.
You have KD coming back from a bad injury. I'm sure he'll come back. I'm sure he'll be great. I do not see those two winning. I can't see. They're going to get that coach fired.
Yep.
Eventually. Atkinson's not a Stevens. Like, he's not that level.
No.
So I'm sure Irving would have loved to get Stevens fired. Atkinson's going to be gone. I feel like there's going to be chemistry and locker room issues.
Yep.
I think they'll be – I mean, they'll be exciting. They'll be good highlights eventually, but I just – I'm, and again, kind of like what you said with the Westbrook thing, they had to do it. I mean, you get two stars after being such a crappy franchise for so long. But I do not see a championship in their future.
No.
And I could be dead wrong, but I don't like the fit, and I don't like the chemistry. And it's just two guys who love to have the ball in their hand and take jumpers.
Yep.
It just doesn't – I don't see it working.
I'm totally with you, too. I told some of my coworkers yesterday, I'm like, would I be crazy to bet my 401k that the Nets don't win a championship with these two guys? And I'm like, I just don't see it. Like, the Kevin Durant injury, why do we all assume he's going to be the same guy? He's a 7-footer with an Achilles injury that plays on the perimeter. Have we ever seen anyone recover from that?
No, best case is what Dominique Wilkins years and years ago. I mean, Kobe was never the same.
Kobe was not even close to the same. I mean, there was an occasional moment of what he used to be, but that was the end of Kobe Bryant. I mean, we never saw the same guy ever again. And he was so skilled, he was able to do some other things, but man, he was a shell of himself. And it's, I think Kevin Durant will be good. He'll be an all-star, but like, I think we can forget about him ever being considered the best player in the NBA ever again.
He'll still be a great shooter. What he'll lose is he actually became a pretty good defender, especially at the rim.
Yep.
Length, and he's going to lose. He'll lose a little bit of athleticism there. I think that's where he'll decline. And he'll just be a great jump shooter. But that's not the best player in the league. Like he was. I mean, he was challenging for that this year before he got hurt.
Yep. All right, I think my final one, I would totally agree with you on the Nets. I'm trying to remember here any other crazy ones. And I think, here's what it is. I think the Hassan Whiteside trade, I don't like what Portland's done. Everyone thinks they've upgraded. I hate Hassan Whiteside, and they lost four guys that they relied on last year. Aminu, Harkless, Seth Curry, and I'm forgetting someone, but they're missing him too. Myers Leonard.
Yeah.
How is all of that equal Hassan Whiteside? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. The only thing I would say to that is if Whiteside turns into Kevin Love, because Whiteside's an expiring, they get with Cleveland and say, hey, we'll take that Kevin Love contract off your hands. Here's Whiteside to fill in for the money. And he comes off your books because they need to – I mean, they can't keep having Kevin Love on that team.
No.
With how bad they are.
No.
If that turns into Kevin Love, and then you've got Kevin Love, Dirkić, you know, Damian Lillard, CJ.
That's true.
I like that, but – right now, that's a terrible. Yeah, that was awful for them. I don't know why. They didn't need a center, and he's just a locker room headache.
And I love how they're trying to spin it like Rodney Hood. He's going to slide in and be – he's going to fill in the role off the bench. And I'm like, Rodney Hood has been the biggest mystery in the NBA, and at no point would I ever put my job on the line for Rodney Hood.
No. No, I would bet on him to fold, not rise. I mean, he had a couple of good games in the playoffs, but that's over a long career of not showing up.
Totally. It's just like, man, there's a reason Utah traded him for nothing. Like this, I don't know. I would rather have Mo Harkless or Aminu or, you know, it's just like, I guess what Orlando did is a little puzzling as well, but you know, oh well. Good. I mean, Terrence Ross, holy crap. Why were they paying that guy $50 million?
I thought he'd be a Laker for like 70 years or something.
Oh, last one. Sorry. I can keep going. Trevor Ariza, dude, come on. Sacramento for $12 million a year? Like, give me a break. That dude, you know what that told me? And I could be completely off the beaten path here, that he just doesn't give a rip about winning. He just wants to make as much money as he can. Dude must love the club.
Yeah, I love the club, or he knows he's washed. You know what I mean? I didn't hear much of him from last year. It was like,
he made $15 million last year. Like, wasn't that the, okay, I cashed out, and now let's play for a winning team as I wrap up? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. They must have been the only team offering him more than 10, I guess, my guess. Because that's ridiculous.
There had to have been a mid-level out there for a playoff team where that made more. It doesn't even make sense. They just signed Harrison Barnes. Where does he even fit in? They got – that was stunning. I could not believe that.
This year, more than any other year, I think the buyout guys in the middle of the season, the guys that are losing teams, and they're just like, yeah, we're not making the playoffs. Let's buy a couple guys out. That buyout market, I think, is going to really determine a lot. I think the Lakers are going to need another guy when they get to that point.
Yep.
The Clippers, I'm sure, as well.
Yep.
Whoever can get the best players out of that group, I think, is going to
– it could swing it. Like, if the Lakers were to add a guy that was a difference maker, it could swing it because it's that close between the Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Lakers. Like, it is razor thin at the top. I'd even put the Warriors. I thought for a minute there that the Warriors were not going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. And I'm secretly hoping that they're like a 7 or 8 seed and they knock off the Clippers or the Jazz. I would love it.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Would you actually root for that, or would you root for the Jazz or the Clippers in that scenario?
I can't stand the Warriors still, so. I mean, before Kawhi recruited Paul George, I was going to be repping the Clip City, Chip City stuff. But then all this other crap happened and I can't do it anymore.
So are you coming to the Lakers for 1 year, the LeBron redemption year?
I don't know, man. I'm not buying any gear, okay? But I'm more invested this year than I was last year.
I buy you a purple T-shirt, but it's got the King logo on it, would you wear it?
I would think about it.
Hey, that's a step in the right direction. I think for you, it's a no-brainer. You got to ride with the Lakers this year, and then you can jump over to the Pelicans after that.
I'm not jumping to the Pelicans. I'm not. I like Zion, but I don't love him. I still don't have my next player. Dang it. Sorry, LeBron's going to play for those 5-6 years. Maybe I'll switch from LeBron to Bronny.
There you go. Just stay in the James family. I support that.
Hey, that was pretty cool that LeBron gave up 23.
That was.
I didn't see that coming.
Those things go a long way, I think. Jet, you know what? You just brought up a bad memory. This guy I can't stand at work comes into my office and he's like, LeBron giving up his number, that's dumb. And I'm like, I thought that was pretty cool. And he's like, that's ridiculous. You know what? I can't root for the Jazz. There's too many of those guys.
Yeah, we're talking to you, Dave.
Dave is one of those guys. He needs to shape up or it's going to get nasty.
Could you imagine? We'd have to stop doing podcasts. Like, he would be uninvited from the BYU podcast if the Jazz won. It's every single time he's like, let's talk about those Jazz.
Huh? Oh, my. You're right. Oh, my gosh. That would be.
Sorry, Dave.
That would be unbearable.
Can't root for your Jazz.
That would be unbearable. You're right. There's. I like the organization. That's the thing. I wish I could separate the two, but the fans, they're relentless. They're the worst in the NBA. They're just annoying. Can't handle them.
Hey, we didn't used to hate the Utes as much as we do now, but what happened? They're fans.
The fans.
The fans make it worse, right?
Yep, you're right. So, really, if either of those teams go to the finals, I'm just going to have to take a long vacation.
Root for the East.
Yep, there you go. Milwaukee, Giannis, take another step, please. All right, Jordan, thanks for coming on, man. It was good to chat, and You know, we're getting close to football season, so I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. Let's get together soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good, dude. Have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good, man.
See ya.
Bye.